This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Roshan Kennison and Noel Lim. 7:07 a.m. Monday the 27th of July. And in about 15 minutes, we're going to be speaking with P. Gunasegaram, Editor-in-Chief of Focus Malaysia, on the latest update on the 1MDB saga. But right now, let's take a look at how markets closed on Friday.
It was a pretty red day, actually, if you take a look at it. I think global markets closed. Reacting to escalating tensions between the US and China. Japan was down 0.6%. Hong Kong was down 2.2%. Shanghai was down 3.7%. I think year to date, it's somewhere around 4% now. Just a few weeks ago, it was around 10%. Singapore was down 1.3%, and the FBM KLCI was down 1.1%.
And over in the US markets, the Dow was down 0.7%, S&P 500 down 0.6%, NASDAQ as well as down 0.9%.
Yeah, if we take a look at some of the value over in the US markets, AMD did really well that day, up 16.5% on news that some of Intel's chips were delayed. So they're a beneficiary from that. It seems like the market seems to be thinking that.
So this morning, to give us more insight into global markets, we have on the line with us Kingsley Jones, Chief Investment Officer at Jevons Global, based in Canberra. Thanks for joining us this morning, Kingsley. Now, US equities dipped last week on geopolitical as well as earnings concerns. Will the expected release of Q2 results for FANG companies boost markets or create more trepidation?
Well, the risk with FANG results, we think, is that there may be some disappointment. I mean, the conventional wisdom is that these firms can't lose because, I mean, they do have great businesses and they do benefit from the shift to home-based working. However, we think that Alphabet and Facebook especially are exposed to advertising. Of course, that's the main line of their revenues, and there might be some weakness there. But on the other side, we have to consider how the advent of affordable home streaming services like Netflix at high resolution might start to affect advertising revenue generally. And content owners such as Disney, they may actually be looking at a better period going forward as they win back some premium for advertising free content. So it's a very interesting space. And the investment that homemakers are making in their home as both workplace, school and leisure place could actually put some new interest in this space. Ready Player One, it's a new era with the home as both the office, the leisure place and increasingly a school.
Do you expect more retracement in U.S. equities this week, or we might see some optimism from Amazon's earnings on Thursday? I mean, I think Amazon's share price has done so well.
Well, look, that's it, really. I mean, I think we're due for a retracement. If you look at how markets have done so far, the COVID crisis is not getting better. And obviously, the tensions in the US remain, and we're going into a very fractious election season. So I think this correction right now is warranted. But you mentioned Amazon. If Amazon posts really good results, that could set the tech sector on fire again. So that's really the one to watch. There could be some surprises there to the upside.
Now, bringing it back closer to Asia, Kingsley, what kind of results across earnings season is kicking off here as well? What kind of results across the board should investors expect?
Well, I think we really are in tune with the idea that there will be continued weakness outside of those few sectors that seem to be beneficiaries. We've mentioned tech. On the hard goods side, I think a lot of retailers of electronics goods are doing quite well. So we'd be looking into Asia at firms like Sony, LG and Samsung to see how the results are tracking to get a read on what that consumer spend looks like as they choose to either buy office electronics for the home or entertainment electronics for the living room.
What about healthcare stocks, Kingsley? Any thoughts on that in Asia?
Well, look, I certainly think that healthcare, I mean, given the nature of this health crisis, is well supported. I think a lot of attention overseas has been on, for example, the candidate makers of vaccines. But elsewhere, you know, in places like Australia, companies like Sonic Healthcare that do the pathology tests and are indeed involved in COVID-19 testing, that stock was very weak in the early stages, but it's now starting to post some better strength. So we'd be looking across Asia really for firms that are well placed in the medical supply chain, and that may not necessarily be drug makers. It could be device makers. It could be consumables such as Ansell with gloves or indeed a whole host of different services.
Speaking about rubber gloves, are you tracking the Malaysian companies? Some quick views about them?
Well, look, the Malaysian companies obviously stand to benefit with Malaysia historically and continuing to be a major source of latex, natural latex rubber for this industry. And so we'd expect to see good results there. As you know, companies like Ansell, based in Australia, have been fairly active over the years in buying Malaysian companies. So we think there's a good story there for Malaysia structurally in being able to provide latex-related products into this continued interest in health and protective equipment.
And Kingsley, speaking of Australia, Australia has extended the time frame of its JobKeeper program. So will this help their economy avoid a hard landing and perhaps restore optimism to the financial markets?
Well, there are really two schools of thought here, as you know. I mean, there are those who say, well, we need to remove the stimulus as soon as possible so we can stem the budget deficit. And there are those who I think rightly say, well, let's be careful because we have such high unemployment, we need to extend it. So the Morrison government's tried to take a middle road here of extending it, but also putting the payment structures on a different eligibility criteria that's more stringent about revenue, and also splitting the payment system into two tiers, shall we say JobKeeper and JobKeeper Lite. So, look, I think it's important to see this continue beyond September. Otherwise, we surely would have had a fiscal cliff in the sense of a sudden withdrawal of stimulus and an extreme tightening of conditions. So we'll just have to wait and see as to whether or not things improve by the mooted March date for the cutoff or whether another extension is probable. I think probably we'll see it extended for some years, particularly in vulnerable sectors like tourism.
You say some years. Could you give us an idea how many years? And do you expect Australia needs to be more aggressive with its packages due to slow global recovery and also rising tensions with China?
Well, look, they're all factors that are going to impact the outcomes. For the time being, I think iron ore prices have been pretty strong because of Chinese steel demand. If we were to see that retrench, then I think that's where you get the case to extend it much beyond the target cutoff of March next year. And we'll just have to wait and see how commodity prices develop. Look, there's always going to be those who say you're doing too much and others who say you're doing too little. For our taste at this time, the Morrison government's probably proceeding around the middle road, but we just have to wait to see how the employment results turn out as to whether or not more aggressive action is warranted.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning, Kingsley. That was Kingsley Jones, Chief Investment Officer at Jevons Global in Canberra, giving us a snapshot of his thoughts on how global markets are going to be performing. And if we take a look over at Reliance Industries as well, that's in the news this morning, Reliance Industries, so that's controlled by Asia's richest man. It toppled ExxonMobil to become the world's largest energy company after Saudi Aramco. So this is as investors piled into the conglomerate, lured by the Indian firm's digital and retail forays. Reliance, which manages the biggest refinery complex, gained 4.3% in Mumbai last Friday. So that added $8 billion to its $189 billion market value.
Yeah, I think their product, Jio, has gotten a lot of attention in recent times. We've seen big investments from Google and Facebook. I think Facebook was there first. But if you take a look at their financials, 47% of last year's revenue up to 31st of March came from refining. Retail was 24%. Only 3.3% of revenue came from digital services. So it's still a small, tiny part of this business. But I think there's a lot of talk around how big this could be. In fact, I think just exactly a year ago, I was in India, and there was a lot of talk about how big Jio could be at that point.
Yeah, so I think there are two things here, right? The fact that Reliance is more diversified than Exxon, so banking on that digital game, and when smart money is looking for promising investments, they look into digital, and therefore you have this this thing about Reliance doing so well on the market, not necessarily the revenue wise. And so, but interesting times ahead. What this means, is ExxonMobil undervalued at this point? Who knows?
Indeed, who knows is really the question there. Up next, we're going to be shifting tack to look at what's happening a little closer to home to get an update latest on the 1MDB saga, with comments from P. Gunasegaram, business commentator as well as author of the book 1MDB, The Scandal That Brought Down the Government. So be sure to stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.